Welcome, everyone. My name is Jill, and we are so glad that you're joining us for our online weekend service. If you have a prayer request or if you want to connect with one of our pastors, you can contact us using our app or you can send us an email at the email address listed on your screen. We also want to remind you that our Christian Assembly LA app is available for download on Apple and Android phones and tablets. You guys, we also want to say thank you so, so much for your giving and your ongoing generosity. You can give using our app or you can give on our website simply by clicking on the Give tab. If you prefer to mail in your offering, you can make checks payable to Christian Assembly Church and you can mail that to our church address, which is listed on your screen and it's also available on our website. If you make a decision to follow Jesus Christ at any point throughout our service, we would love to be able to follow up with you and celebrate with you. So you can send us an email using the email listed on your screen, or you can text the word decision to the number 52855. And one of our pastors, Tom Hughes, who will be speaking today, will personally follow up with you as a way to pray with you and encourage you with some next steps. Well, again, you guys, thank you so much for joining us for our online service this weekend. We encourage you to continue to worship with us throughout the rest of the service. Let me pray for us. God, thank you so much for being good and for being faithful, and thank you for the many good gifts you have put in our lives, including the gift of being able to do these online services with our church family, God. Lord, we pray for all of those who are in difficult seasons, who find themselves grieving or dealing with sickness or loss, and we just pray that you would meet them and comfort them and give them your hope. God, would you speak to us through this service? We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Thanks, you guys. Let's worship together.
We want to be a church where freedom reigns. We want to be a people grace. We want to be a shelter where the broken find their place. We want to be a refuge for the weak. We want to be a light for the world to see. We want to be a love that breaks the walls and fills the streets. And all I wear, shines a beacon in the night. We want to see the city filled with hope. We want to bring peace to the troubled soul. We want to tell the story of a God that we can know. All are welcome and all are welcome as we are, as we are. For our God is near every heart. Let your mercy rise. Your mercy rise, lay your hope resound, lay your love in our hearts be found, lay your grace run free, let your name bring peace, heaven come in the here and now. So let justice flow, so let justice flow like a river. My dear friend and one of our kids' church pastors to come up and lead us in this moment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. My tongue is the pen of a skillful writer. Let God write a story through me. Yeah, Satan wants to spell check, but God erased the lies. the justice not being complete, yeah. And on that note, I went and I wrote this verse. I've been weeping all week, man, I know what hurts, yeah. I'm tired of seeing my people in a hearse, yeah. I gotta see God's strength, I know it works, yeah. I gotta pray more, man, it's more than words, yeah. God loves me, I know what I'm worth, yeah. I'm mad at cause of what you did up on the cross. I'm mad at cause you seek the one sheep that's lost. Yeah, so like a good neighbor, let my God be there. Yeah, like a good neighbor, let me show that I care. Yeah, like a good neighbor, let me love. Yeah, like the Lord above. Yeah, there's a time to weep, there's a time to laugh, there's a time to mourn, and there's a time to dance. In times like this, it's hard to understand. Just know that God still has you in his hand. Yes, he's still good, and he still has good plans. In times like this, yeah, we gotta rise, yeah. The mercy rise,
yeah, yeah. Let your mercy rise, let your hope resound, let your love. Miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Again, again, again. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. Thank you.
is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. And this is my Father's world.
Take it up for this next verse.
This is my Father's word. Oh, let me not forget that though the wrong seems all so strong, God is a ruler. Yeah,
this is, oh,
this is my Father's.
Hey, welcome everybody. My name is Tom. What a joy to be with you. To our visitors and guests, I am so honored that you've chosen to tune in and be with us. And of course, to my CA family, great to be with you. I have been praying for you, and I'm excited about what God's going to say to us through our time together. Before we jump into the teaching, I want to give you an update on COVID-19. Of course, as many of you know, our elders and management team have been prayerfully reading the guidelines that have been given to us as a church by our governor. We've been in discussions and praying. Many of you have been praying as well. You've told me thank you for that. Considering all the different factors that are at play, our current unanimous decision is to share this as our next best step. Currently, as you know, we are doing what we call Christian Assembly, or CA, at home, which is the online services with those that you live with. But now we are working on a next step that we are calling CA with life groups at home. These are simply small groups of people that will gather this summer in backyards or in homes during our normal weekend service times to participate and watch the online services together. Of course, there'll be social distancing and masks will be worn in accordance with the governor's guidelines for churches. After the service, you'll have a short discussion just about the service, and then you'll have the opportunity to pray for one another. Basically, imagine it as Christian Assembly as a network of house churches all throughout Los Angeles. And who knows? I know that some of you are joining us from other cities, so maybe you will be the person that God uses to start a CA house church in your city too. However, before we can launch this, we need even more leaders than we already have. So we are sending an email to our church family this week to recruit those of you who would be interested and feel comfortable in having others to join with you, whether in your backyard or in your home. These groups will be using the online services, so you don't have to prepare or teach anything. Once all of the leaders are in place, we will then update all of us who are part of Christian Assembly on how you can become part of one of these groups if you would like to do that. And here is what I want to ask. I want to ask that you continue to pray as we continue to walk this out. If you consider yourself part of Christian Assembly, I want to encourage you to get into a life group. Whether that means it's one of these groups that are the CA with life groups at home that will meet socially distant with masks, or whether it's an online CA life group meeting in the Zoom format, whatever it might be, I want to encourage you to get in a life group. There is never a time more than now where our life groups are really the structure and the mission and the heartbeat of our church. So join us in a group one way or another. And when you get the email this week, please prayerfully consider, maybe God's stirring you to step up and host one of these groups, because we can't accommodate everyone without you. We are excited and feel even a sense of celebration as we lean in to take this next step forward. And so thank you for joining us in that. Well, let's turn to the teaching for this week as we continue our series, Hope Found Here, the Unshakable Promises of God. You turn on the news today and everywhere you see the cry for justice, and rightfully so. The book of Ecclesiastes in the Bible tells us that God has placed eternity in the human heart. Eternity in our hearts is not just the longing for more of the same. It's the longing for more good without evil, for more of the just parts of life without the injustice of life. Now, justice for us as a church, it's not a new value. We talk here at Christian Assembly about worship and family and kingdom. And under our kingdom value, we talk about evangelism as well as justice. In fact, God makes a promise about justice in the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 31. It says this, "For God has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof to this to everyone by raising him from the dead." What does that word justice even really mean? And how do we participate with the God of justice? Well, we're going to consider that. But before we do, let's pray. So God, as we come to your word, would you build our faith? Those that don't know you, bring them to yourself. Those that know you, strengthen our hope and conviction around your promises. God, even now, we pray for the CA groups that will be happening, these new CA with life groups at home. We ask, God, you would raise up the leaders that are needed, that you would build your church. And God, as we come to your word, tenderize and open our hearts to what you want to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we get started, I want to ask you to just take a breath with me, to just soften your hearts to what God's word will say to us today. When I said I'm going to be teaching on the topic of justice, I know many of you maybe began to tear up and you're saying thank you for speaking on this topic once again. I imagine maybe some of you might be feeling something like this. Well, Tom, I hear about justice all week long in the news. Can't you teach on something else to just give me a little bit of break from it all? But we need to hear about justice from God's word and from God's perspective. Others of you are thinking, oh, okay, is CA all of a sudden going political? I mean, what kind of church is this? Is this a conservative church or is this a liberal church? Let me answer that for you. CA is a biblical church. In fact, I would say that we are a gospel-centered, multi-generational, and multi-ethnic church. Just like the church in the book of Acts that we find in the city of Antioch in Acts 11, where people were first called Christians. They were first called Christians then because none of the ethnic identifiers alone could capture them because they were a multi-ethnic church, just as we are here at Christian Assembly. I remember a number of years ago when I was teaching against the sin of racism, and as part of planning that particular weekend service, I felt led from a time of prayer to publicly wash the feet of some of my brothers and sisters in our church family who are a different ethnicity than me. And so as part of planning that, I gathered a number of them and I said, could I do this? How would you feel about it? And they all agreed. But then a number of them spoke up and said, Tom, yes, you can wash my feet, but then I want to get up and I want to go and wash the feet of someone of a different ethnicity than me as well. And I didn't ask them to do that. They chose to do that. And I remember that weekend how beautiful and how powerful it was to watch that happen. Not just for that moment, but for the heart of the power of that sign and symbol. Their hearts were saying that they too want to be part of breaking down walls of racial barriers, that they want to be racial reconcilers one to another because of the love of Christ in them. You see, part of the beauty and the power and the prophetic witness of a multi-ethnic church is that it shows that the gospel has the power to break down walls and to soften hearts. But we can't just have this be on the surface. It can't just be for looks. It's got to go deep in us if we're to be completely committed to Christ. So what does God's word teach us when it comes to this topic of justice? The first thing I would want to say is this, is that justice is God's idea, it's God's heart, and it's an eternal value. Well, Tom, this topic of justice, is it a conservative value? Is it a liberal value? I would say it's better than that. It's a timeless value. It's an eternal value. Justice is the eternal character and heart of God. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 3 and 4 says, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. How glorious is our God. He is the rock. His deeds are perfect. Everything he does is just and fair. He is a faithful God who does no wrong. How just and upright is he. To say that you want justice or to say that you're a person of justice is to make an ethical claim. And as you consider our culture, I just want to ask you, can you see with me how the current demands of justice in our culture are exposing the failure of the secular postmodern ethics and morality that slosh around our culture all the time? For example, maybe you've heard this phrase or even have said this phrase. Well, I just believe that you should follow your heart. You should just follow your heart. Really? But what if someone's heart is filled with evil and racism and injustice and hatred? Should that person still just, quote, follow their heart? Of course not. Proverbs 14, chapter 14, verse 12 says it this way: there's a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. God's word never tells us to just, quote, follow your heart. It says you might need to get a new heart. You might need to get a new one. You know, none of the protesters that I know are carrying signs that say, just follow your heart. No, we don't carry that sign these days because that slogan has no power against injustice. Or here's another one that people say sometimes: Tom, I just believe all truth is relative. Your truth, Tom, isn't my truth. You know, it's interesting. No one's marching in the streets these days chanting, all truth is relative. All truth is relative. Why not? Because all of those sloppy, sentimental, postmodern ethical claims stand naked and exposed as both untrue and powerless in the face of brutal injustice. Instead, people are saying that they want justice. Why? Because God has put eternity in the human heart. And what God gives us and who God is and what we need is an objective, timeless, eternal standard of justice. That's what God gives us in His Word. The second thing we see is this, is that God defines justice. It's good news that God is the one who defines justice because He Himself is just. So what is justice according to God's word? In the Bible, the word justice, it means to do what is right. It is first and foremost in the scriptures a relational term, living in right relationship with God, right relationship with one another, and right relationship with creation. So justice, biblical justice, has relational requirements. For example, God's word tells us that justice requires honest dealings in legal matters. For example, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 15, says this: do not twist justice in legal matters by favoring the poor or by being partial to the rich and powerful. Always judge people fairly. Notice the command there is not to swing to either kind of end of the spectrum in legal matters. Don't favor the poor and don't be partial to the rich. Always judge people fairly. So seek justice must be done justly in just ways, according to God's word. Now, biblical justice, it doesn't only have to do with legal matters. It also has to do with our business practices as well. In fact, Deuteronomy 25, verse 15 says that you must have accurate and honest weights and measures so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving to you. For the Lord your God detests anyone who does these things, anyone who deals dishonestly. So when banks or businesses use different standards, for example, let's say for whites versus other ethnic groups, that is detestable to God. Why? Because God demands just dealings when it comes to our business practices as part of His justice. The list describing what is unjust biblically could go on. It's unjust to murder someone. It's unjust to steal. It's unjust to lie. It's unjust to have an affair. It's unjust to take a bribe. It's unjust to oppress people and more. In fact, the Lord says it this way in the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 17. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Notice here that God is saying that His definition of justice not only includes what you are to avoid, but also what you are to pursue and do. See, God's command for justice goes beyond neutrality. So seeking justice isn't just don't oppress people. That's good to not oppress people, but it's also neutral. Well, I didn't cause the harm, but neither did I create any good or remedy any harm that was done either. See, it goes further here. It's not just don't oppress people. It's defend the oppressed. And I see you doing this, CA, in a number of ways. People are asking, what can I do? What can we do? Well, there are a lot of answers to that. But one answer this week came from a black pastor who I know named Ephraim Smith, who challenged churches this week to take the concrete action of starting tutoring programs at local public schools as an act of racial justice. Now, why does that help? Well, he cited some data that shows that kids who fall behind grade level in math or reading have a higher chance of future incarceration rates. So you, CA, are already doing that. You are mentoring at-risk kids in our schools. That is something you can do. It's not the only thing, but it's being part of the solution. For 13 years, you have been stepping up with Kids Hope, and I just want to say thank you for not being neutral. We've had almost 300 kids be part of that program, measured by them being in it by 4 or more years. In fact, not only do we have our own program, but because of your generosity and your networking and your advocacy, we've been able to start 17 other Kids Hope programs with other churches that are saying they want to do the same thing in their local public school. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Because of you, literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of at-risk kids are being served in just ways. I know others of you, you're involved in the foster care system. That's another thing that can be done. That's an act of justice. I know others of you have contributed to the prayer and pantry ministry that's happening, and you've given funds as well that's helped the Grocery Benevolence Fund. Do you know that now we have fed over 2,000 people through those efforts together? That's you not just saying, well, I didn't make them hungry, but instead you're taking up the cause of those in need. Thank you. And you're not just doing it locally. You are doing justice around the world too. In fact, if you were with us last weekend, you heard how we are feeding hundreds of orphans in Nigeria. That's because of you and your generosity. Thank you for taking up the cause of the fatherless by your generosity. And it's not just in Nigeria. We're feeding the poor in the Philippines, and the list could go on. So thank you. As Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 tells us, "For God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love for him by caring for other believers as you still do. Our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts in order to make certain that what you hope for will come true. Then you will not become spiritually dull or indifferent." Don't be spiritually indifferent. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and endurance. We are called to keep on loving others so long as life goes on for us, to not give up, to become and to then continue to be God's people who speak out on God's behalf and his good justice. I know a number of you have spoken out recently against racism, and I want to thank you. You know, it's one thing to say, well, I'm not racist, and that's good. But I want to encourage you, I want to call you from God's word, go beyond neutral, to become a person who takes up the cause of those who have suffered injustice of racism, whether that person might be black or Latino or Asian or some other different ethnicity. This week, I saw someone go beyond neutral, and when it happened, I knew I was standing on gospel-centered holy ground. Here's what happened. I was speaking with a black man in our church who was preparing, he told me, to reach out to another man in our church who happened to be a white man. And that white man is employed as a police officer. They both are part of CA. They're both Christians, and they have a long friendship that started when they met here at the church. And this is what the black man said to me as we were talking on the phone. He said, "Look, I'm friends with this guy. And I just want to hear how he's doing." He said, "You know, it must be tough to be on the skirmish lines in riot gear. And I also want him to feel safe to ask me questions too, even if it's hard or uncomfortable." And I remember talking with him on the phone, and we were praying for one another, and I began to tear up because I could see the Holy Spirit at work in a real and relational way in our church through this man. Now, their conversation, it will never make maybe headline news on earth, but it is a sign of God at work, his good and just kingdom coming to earth as it is in heaven. Jesus summed it up this way when he was asked what the greatest commandment was. In Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus replied and said, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." And when I love God with all of my heart, soul, strength, and mind, I learn to love what God loves. And then I'm sent out into the world to love my neighbor as myself. And loving your neighbor includes doing justice as God's word teaches us to do. The third thing we see from God's word is this, is that God's plan of salvation is to call us to be saved by mercy for justice. Now let me explain. Some might say to me, "But Tom, if God is just, then why is there such injustice in the world?" And that's a good question. When we see an injustice, we can often ask, "Where's God?" But you know, I wonder maybe if God is asking those of us who know him, "Where are you?" Justice and judgment go together. You can't have one without the other. And the reality is that I stand under God's judgment with a soft heart towards God. If I could just be humble and invite you to be as well for a moment, if I can get by all my rationalizing and blaming and excusing and arguing, I just need to confess that as I've looked throughout my life, I've not always done justice. Sometimes I've done injustices. Sometimes I've just settled for neutral. I don't think I'm alone in this. According to the Bible, part of the problem is not just out there somewhere, it's also in here too, in my own heart. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." In other words, I find this conflict within me because I want to be part of the solution, but I also know that I'm part of the problem. See, if God's future is a totally just world, then my own injustices are going to exclude me from that world, unless God makes a way where there seems to be no way. And yet, when God calls out our sin, including the sin of racism, we can either reject or deny that, blame it, excuse it, or rationalize it, or we can humble ourselves. And we can say to the Lord, "I need you to forgive me, to save me, to change me from the inside out. I don't just want to follow my heart. I want you to give me a new one that reflects your just and righteous heart." 1 John 1:9 says, "But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness." Verse 10, it says, "If we claim we have not sinned, we're calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts." We get so angry at God, feeling like he isn't present during times of injustice. But the life of Jesus tells the story of God taking on the injustices, taking on the evil of the world that we created, the injustices we created, taken upon himself and dying on the cross. Where was God when this injustice was occurring? He's dying on the cross. As one old tract puts it, "The nations of the world got together to pronounce judgment on God for all the evils of the world, only to realize with a shock that God had already served his sentence." Because Jesus is righteous but died a sinner's death, he understands the weight of the sins, the injustices of this world. Now he is here, is someone who can help us in our times when we need to be comforted, but also help us to change. There might be some who misunderstand this. They might think, well, if Jesus has won the victory on the cross against evil, against injustice, against sin, against racism, then there's nothing more to be done. I'll just sit around and hope to go to heaven. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Jesus didn't die on the cross so that we would do nothing. Jesus died on the cross so that we would be made new and we would desire and begin to do something, namely to know God. And then desire to do God's will on earth as it is in heaven. In Revelation, the book of Revelation, the Lamb of God, who is Jesus, has conquered and has defeated the powers of evil. And here's what we learn in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. There was a group of people and they sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Here we see in God's word that God has purchased people from every tribe, from every language, from every people, and every nation. In fact, that word nation in the Greek, it's ethnos. It's where we get our word ethnicity from. He's purchased people of every ethnicity to become his kingdom of priests on the earth. I love how N.T. Wright puts it in his great book, Evil and the Justice of God. He says, quote, "The cross has won the victory, as a result of which there are now redeemed human beings getting ready to act as God's wise agents, his stewards, constantly worshiping God as their creator, and as a result being equipped to reflect his image into his creation, and to bring his wise and healing order to the world, putting the world to rights under his just and gentle rule. In our sin, in varying ways and varying degrees, we are all part of the problem. But the good news is that in Christ's work on the cross and his mercy, we are invited, we are called by faith to become part of those who are purchased of God from every tribe, tongue, language, and nation, as we respond by faith to Jesus Christ. To respond by faith is not only to say, "Yes, I believe." It's to seek out then to live that "yes, I believe" by tangible actions. Now, don't misunderstand me. This is not salvation by works, because we are saved by God's grace and his mercy. But neither is it a dead faith that results in no just actions being taken. We are saved by mercy for justice so that we can become people who desire and do what is in God's right and good and just heart. That God's just and multi-ethnic, multi-generational, gospel-centered kingdom would come. That God's just will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, in us and through us together. May it be so, Christian Assembly. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you that you are the God of justice. And you've entrusted this earth and our relationships that we would steward them well. Let me ask you, church, what injustice do you need to confess? It could be any of the number of things we looked at. It could be racial injustice that you've participated in or you've been silent about. It could be maybe economic. Maybe you haven't been ethical and just in your business practices. Maybe you took a bribe. Maybe you lied. Maybe you cheated on your spouse. That's an injustice according to God's word. Maybe you oppressed someone. Maybe you stood silent while someone else was oppressed. What do you need to confess? And not only confess, what action step can you take to undo the harm done by your injustice, whatever that might be? Ask God to speak to you now, to make it right where you can. Lord, forgive us our sins. Times we've actively been unjust, times when we've settled for neutral rather than pursuing justice. Those of you who are in Christ, God's word tells us that you're created anew in Christ Jesus so that you can do good things that he planned for you to do long ago. Let me ask you, what good and just action can you do this week? God planned it long ago, and he's waiting for you to arise and go and do it this week in his name. How can you act this week as God's wise agent, his steward, reflecting God's just and merciful and loving image to those around you, bringing his wisdom and healing order to this world? You can't fix everything in the world, but you can do something. What is it that God is asking you to do? Maybe some of you have never said yes to Jesus, and you have a passion for justice, and you're realizing as you hear this message that that's really a sign of eternity in your heart, that there's a just God who's created you, and your desire for justice could be the path for you to come to know this just God. If that's you, you can pray and say, God, I want to know you. Forgive me of my sins. Save me by the mercy of Jesus and his grace. And make me a just person, that I would pursue your justice, your mercy, your kindness, your goodness, all the days of my life. Teach me from your word how to know you and to pursue justice. Give me your Holy Spirit that would help me grow to reflect your image even more to those around me. Hey, listen, if you made the decision for the first time to say yes to Jesus, would you let us know by either texting in or you can email us? Also, I just want to say, CA, I'm so grateful for you. I've been praying for you. I'm proud of how you continue to respond with humility and grace and justice to see God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, everybody.
Honor and glory.
blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, everyone overcome. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
Thank you guys again for joining us for our online weekend services. If you made a decision to follow Jesus Christ at any point during this service, we would love to follow up and celebrate with you. So please send us an email or a text to let us know. We also want to remind you of a couple ways to stay connected with us in this coming week. We have our CA daily touch points as well as digital discipleship available on our social media accounts. You can find and follow us on social media using Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Thanks again for joining us. And as we close, let me leave us with this benediction. May you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Thanks, you guys, and we'll see you next weekend.